Brands and marketers wrestle with the idea of staying relevant in ever-changing markets. AB Mokhwatsane, the CMO of Investec, has been at the forefront of leading and growing brands, from being the former CEO of Ogilvy South Africa to being the executive for brand marketing and communications at Vodacom. In this episode, I ask AB how organizations can build forward-looking brands while being relevant in the now.
I always say that as a brand and as a business, you shouldn't try and be consistently fresh. So don't try and always kind of be current. What you should be is freshly consistent.
We also delve into how marketers can collaborate effectively with their agency partners to ensure that they rise above industry sameness.
I think the role of marketing as an industry generally is to make the complex simple and the simple exciting.
Do you want to build a thriving brand and career that outlives industry changes? This episode is for you. Welcome to the Lead Creative Podcast, where we talk to creative industry leaders, influencers, and brands. We discuss the strategies that influence brand thinking and shape industries. Thought leaders and heads of agencies let us in on some of their thinking and insights. I'm your host, Mongezi Simthati. Enjoy the show and please share and subscribe. AB, thanks so much for making the time to chat to us on The Lead Creative. And I'm glad that it's the second time. You are one of the very few guests to come on for the second time to the show. So thanks for that.
I'm honored.
I'm honored. Just to kick us off, AB, I mean, just looking back on your career, would you say that there was always a plan for you to get into the leadership roles that you got onto? How did you cultivate that over the years to end up where you ended up across the roles that you did?
There certainly wasn't always a plan. My leadership roles have really been opportunities that I've been given. Cultivation has happened through the observation of different leaders and people I've had the privilege to work with and people I've admired, and certainly just some of the trials and tribulations that happen in the course of work. So there was never really a plan, to be honest. I was thrown into situations that I applied myself at and, you know, by the grace of God, managed to get out with some learnings and experience.
And after you had cultivated those experiences, those learnings, and you had been in leadership positions for a long time across brands and agencies, you then went back to the University of Oxford to study for your MBA. How did that experience reshape your perspective or change it in any way?
Yeah, so, you know, what doing an MBA did for me was just give me an opportunity to just test my own mind and test my capacity to think across multiple different perspectives and dimensions within commerce. I did an Ironman in 2019, and that was really a test of my endurance and my fitness and my discipline. So this was almost the same thing, but except this time I was doing that exercise and that endurance test within my brain. I just felt that I needed that at that time in my career. I'd had enough experience, I felt, to be able to really apply it on some global problems and perspectives that an MBA gives you.
I'm sure that, after having put yourself in the space of being a student again, it changed your thinking quite a bit, because it was also the time when you're doing the move or the shift between Vodacom and Investec as well, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah, it was quite interesting, because most people will complete their MBA and then there'll be some sort of shift in their career. My shift and my transition from Vodacom to Investec happened during my studies. And in a way, it was really a blessing in disguise, because I walked into a brand new environment. And in that context of learning and observing, I was able to apply the lessons that I was getting at school, you know. But I've always believed that you should always be a student. You know, I never stopped being a student. This time that were very specific through an MBA, very specific filters, very specific models, some old and some new that you could apply. So I really enjoyed it.
Speaking of Investec, the brand has maintained a distinctive presence in a very competitive marketplace for over 50 years, right?
Yes.
How do you achieve that year on year, as Investec has, in markets that are constantly changing, that are constantly evolving, and as the brand itself changes over the years?
You know, I'll tell you a very interesting story, Mongezi, about how the founders of the business got to name the Investec business itself. They sat now 50 years ago around a table. They'd just done a management buyout of a leasing company, and they were trying to determine which name to give this business. And what they did is they put a whole lot of names of stuff they liked on the wall. So there was, you know, the typical stuff around finance, profit, value, investments. And then they had another list, which was, you know, kind of names and ambitions that were not really core to financial services. So they had stuff there like service, they had innovation, they had technology. In fact, Ian Cantor was one of the, at that stage, was working at IBM. So he had a very strong kind of technology background at that stage. And they decided to combine the name of investments and technology. That's where the name Investec comes from. And in today's day and age, that actually seems quite blasé and actually quite standard in the age of fintechs. But if you take yourself back 50 years, those guys had come up with a name that had defied convention. It was way ahead of its time. And actually, if you think about it, it was even then out of the ordinary. So in the business's DNA, in our DNA, is this notion that we can think ahead of where the market is right now. And that is something that has sustained the business and the way that it's thought to this day. And it's going to be there into the future. So I think what Investec has been able to maintain is a very clear understanding about who it is at its core. And that hasn't changed. And whatever external environments were rotating around that, they just were able to just apply that to their core of being out of the ordinary, of thinking beyond today. And that's what stayed with us. So, and that manifested in the brand. So that whole notion of being ahead of the curve is something that the brand has been able to maintain and leverage.
That's fascinating. And there are many things, I mean, that many parallels that we can draw today that are looking towards the future as well, right? I think, I mean, the emergence of digital platforms, the emergence of digital media, the emergence of AI right now. But from a marketing perspective then, when a brand is so forward-looking, and we are talking now about a brand that was, you know, that was started 50 years ago, forward-looking in a time that's today, 50 years later, it seems so current and such a no-brainer. How do you, from a marketing perspective, maintain close relationships with your customers and your clients while realizing that you are future-looking? Because people live in the now, right? People live now. They don't see that big vision of 50 years later. How do you take them with you on that journey from a marketing perspective and from a communication perspective to help you grow the brand?
Yeah, so, you know, the secret, in my view, around great brands is consistency. So if you're lucky enough to know what it is you do that adds value to your customers and your clients at that particular point in time, and you're able to apply yourself consistently, it always just plays itself out in a way that adds value to both the client and yourself. Our business has always been built on an excellent service ethic, an ability to be able to partner with people through thick and thin with our clients, and also an ability to be able to think out of the box, Now, those are not things that you would have found in some fancy book or something that our agency came up with. It was just the core of who we were. Now, our ability to be able to constantly refresh that is what's kept us and made us sustainable. So I always say that as a brand and as a business, you shouldn't try and be consistently fresh. So don't try and always kind of be current. What you should be is freshly consistent. So find new ways of, you know, maintaining the core that you have. So don't try and be consistently fresh. Be freshly consistent is the way that for me has been able to sustain, you know, a lot of the businesses that we have around us today that have been able to be around for a very long time.
Yeah, that's a fascinating perspective as well, because a lot of brands try to remain current. They try to be the flavor of the week, the flavor of the month, while losing their essence a lot of the time along the way. And AB, I think on that point, you've been at the forefront of growing brands, both from within the brand and from an agency perspective as well. What are some of the nuances that you've realized between the UK and the South African market, which are the two markets that you work in quite a lot now? I mean, you've worked in very different markets all the time, but right now you travel between South Africa and the UK. What are some of the nuances that make the two markets different and also make them similar in ways that you could then bring back to your agency and keep the brand consistent, as you've just mentioned?
So I have always worked in multiple markets throughout my career, usually for the same business. So if you think about the beginning of my career when I worked at SAB, we were marketing Castle in Sibongiseni. At the same time, we were marketing Castle in Sandton. And I was always taught that actually, no matter where you are and what you do, what exists is the client. The client has specific needs that that you have to meet. And you have many different people and many different organizations competing to satisfy those needs at the same time. But ultimately, the most important is a very clear understanding about what problem you're solving, and then aligning your business to be able to deliver to that particular problem. So that's, you know, the question you asked is actually, I was asked in my interviews for Investec to say, look, you've worked across the continent, you've worked in South Africa, how are you going to be able to apply yourself and work in the UK? And I was like, I'm just going to learn about how that market works. At the end of the day, you're dealing with people that have got hopes and dreams and fears and aspirations, and you've got to be able to tap into those. The nuances that I've specifically found is that our brand at its core is the same, but we're tapping into different need states in the different environments. You know, I think in South Africa, we are a very high-end premium brand. Where in the UK, we transverse many different levels of the target market. So we have to be able to learn around what premium looks like and what, you know, what the other levels are below premium look like and how we tap into those particular markets. So the structure of the target audiences are different, but fundamentally people just want to get their their needs met.
In our previous conversation, the last time we spoke, you highlighted the fact that clients really underestimate the amount of work that needs to go in at client level to facilitate really effective agency relationships. On the back of that realization, how do you approach your client agency relationships to ensure that you are market and culturally relevant as a brand across the various markets that you operate?
You see, I in some of the podcasts that you've put up that I've watched, there was one where my dear friend Sechabo Mudzielwa was speaking about the freedom of a tight brief. And he was saying, you know, really great ideas are the ones that are on brief. And the brief has to be so tight that it resolves a very specific business problem. The best thing that marketers and leaders and businesses can do for agencies is be very clear about what problem they're solving. I think the role of marketing as an industry generally is to make the complex simple and the simple exciting. What business leaders should do is, their job is to take the complexity and make it simple. The role of the agency is then to take that simplicity and make it exciting. Jeff White, who's the CEO of Nando's, always used to say, you know, you've got to be able to dramatize the consumer benefit. And that is only possible once you've been able to kind of distill the exact benefit that you want that meets a particular problem. And the agencies can then be given the freedom of a tight brief. So for me, I always go back to, let's just get the basics right. Do we understand our brand? Do we understand what we're solving for? And then you let the agencies do what agencies do and you don't get in their way. That's what delivers the best work, in my view.
The question I like to ask is, as somebody who knows and understands the brand essence and everything that the brand stands for, a lot of the time you're also very clear about what the brand needs to communicate. But a lot of the time, and also as someone who's who's been on the agency side of things, you know that a lot of work that really shifts the needle is work that sometimes scares you, is work that you sometimes feel pushes the needle a little bit too far. And sometimes on the brand side, the you know the marketer feels like this pushes the needle a little bit too far, challenges me. How do you balance, how do you strike that balance of work that feels really challenging to you as a marketer, but you know for a fact that for the agency to deliver what they need to, it needs to be challenging?
Wow, it's so tricky. You know, I deal with that problem all the time. Because I'm so clear about distilling the brand to its core essence, and I've done that work, and you know, because I've been so engrossed in being able to achieve that, sometimes when that is then creatively expressed, you're like, whoa, that, you know, it doesn't fit neatly into the boxes that you've designed. The way that I deal with that is I seek perspectives from a different set of people. I have a council in my mind. People don't even know that they're on my council. But, you know, every now and then I'll ask one of our leaders or one of my mentors or somebody that I am mentoring. And I'll say, look, here's the problem. What do you think of this piece of work? And through that kind of understanding, you get a perspective that gives you that level of balance. You know, you can't just rely on yourself to be the only filter of that. You know, David Ogilvy used to say that you should never stop doing research, because when you stop, if you stop doing your research, that's when your advertising is actually going to start to wither. And I kind of think that is also a really good filter to put in. Put in some application of client research as part of the process, and at the at the least you'll get something that you'd glean some insight. You may still go with the idea, but you'll perhaps get some ideas around how to apply it better.
This episode is sponsored by the digitally led customer experience agency Roger Wilco. For all your customer experience, digital marketing, and web development needs, go to rogerwilco.co.za or rogerwilco.co.uk. You can also download the South African CX report and the Township CX report directly from their website, free of charge. Don't we all love something free every now and again, especially with insights, right? Now back to the show. Marketing and creative effectiveness are constantly scrutinized. What specific metrics or approaches have you put in place to validate the impact and value of the creative work that you put out there?
So our validation really happens through our results. And so, you know, from a short-term perspective, we look at obviously the sales and the financial results that we're able to achieve, the leads that we're able to achieve. So that gives you really short-term perspective on how things are going. Obviously, from a long-term perspective, from an attitudinal and brand metric perspective, we look at brand tracking studies that we diligently apply on an annual basis, and we look at work, and we look at how are the attributes that we want to be really measured against improving or not over time. And obviously, we look at the share price of our business through that time, because our business is so relational. It's built on people that are going to be partners with us in the long term. we look at all of those metrics. So what we've been able to do for the business is we've been able to say, here's what the brand stands for, how we will know we've achieved are the following metrics: short-term, medium-term, and long-term, and aligned around the business with that. And that's how we run our business, you know.
There are many disruptions that keep occurring, I think. I mean, I like the fact that we touched on technology a bit earlier on, and how, you know, the business got to its name. There are many disruptions that keep coming up, some market disruptions and others as a result of technology and changes that are happening. How do you lead through these times? How do you lead your marketing teams through these disruptions to ensure that, you know, brand resilience is maintained and you continue innovating from a marketing and advertising perspective?
Well, technology is always going to be there, you know. Even if you go back to the Stone Ages, they had technology, right? And they had new technologies that came on. My guidance generally to our teams is, you know, I'm not looking for us to become great digital marketers. I would like us to be fantastic marketers that are digital. And you can change the word digital with whatever innovation is coming up at that particular point in time. Again, the fundamentals are you've got a client, and then on the other side, you've got your business. And in between, what happens is the stuff that we are able to control, the messaging, the experience. And I believe that as digital comes on, or as new technologies come on, all that happens is that you've got new mediums and new tools upon which to build experience and communication. So I always say, understand the fundamentals first. And then as the new technologies or the new innovations come on, let's understand how to apply them. The moment you believe that a technology is going to be able to solve some of the fundamental issues that you have not resolved, that's when you're going to get lost. And I see a lot of people, you know, trying to do that. And again, it goes back to the point of trying to be consistently fresh rather than being freshly consistent.
What trends at the moment do you see reshaping marketing and advertising? I mean, you've got this, of course. I mean, I've mentioned your extensive experience both in advertising and corporate, where you've seen these trends come and go. Which ones right now do you believe are going to reshape or at least shift marketing and advertising as we used to know them?
Well, I mean, I think the obvious one is the ability of cloud computing to be able to speed up the ability to process work and ideas, you know. So artificial intelligence at its core is really a ability for machine learning to be able to create. And with the right prompts, it will be able to create at hyperscale. And that's the biggest trend that we're having. So in marketing, the way that artificial intelligence is being applied is in the ability for us to scale the content creation side of what we do. And that is in many ways disintermediating the agencies that are not on that particular point, or even disintermediating some marketing functions. So there's a hyper creation capability that artificial intelligence brings. And on the other end, it's just making the processing of work and briefs much more efficient, and much faster. So for me, those are the trends that I see in the immediate framework over the next, I say, 5 to 10 years that are going to have the most significant impact. So our ability to be able to understand what are the things that we can do faster, and what are the things that we can do that are going to help us mass customize effective communication. What are those tools that are going to help us do that? That's where we're looking at as an organization to say, this is how we can get around that. And every single department within our business has an understanding around how technology and artificial intelligence is impacting them. But those are the two areas that we're looking at.
So on the one side, while the technology is evolving rapidly, consumer behavior on the other is also evolving as rapidly. How do you stay ahead in terms of just understanding the innovative marketing strategies and implementing them as both of these evolve as quickly as they do?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, you know, just going back to the core, no matter what happens, the client is looking for information that is going to help them get ahead. In fact, they spend most of the time trying to just get through the deluge of information that's been thrown at them. So what we are always thinking is, when can we add the most value? How can we show up in the best way that's going to help people get ahead? So for us, it means that we cannot ignore, as marketers, the experience that our clients are having with our brand, whether it's with our service center, whether it's with people that they're dealing with on a deal basis, on a deal-by-deal basis, or the experience that they're having on our app. All of those things work together to create a particular perception and a very particular way that your clients are going to be engaging with your brand. So we have to concern ourselves with the entire ecosystem. So how do we stay ahead? We stay ahead by understanding where we meet people, where they're at, and what information we need to give them and what experience we need to give them to get them to add value to their lives.
AB, I know that you've spoken about purpose, and you talk a lot about purpose, about how your personal purpose and the brand purpose should be aligned in order for you to deliver at sort of your optimum levels and for you to work with that brand. How has this approach and your perspective on purpose influenced your leadership style as well as your personal professional journey as you grew?
Sure. So my personal purpose is to unleash the leadership potential in people, in the people that I work with, people that I have the privilege to influence. I believe that we have in us, all of us, leadership capacity and capability. And I think that's what the world needs. It needs more leaders. It needs better leaders. And my experience comes again from growing up in a township and working in companies in the metropolitan areas like Sandton, where there would be someone who's a driver, for example, at SAB. But you go home and this same individual is a pastor and a leader within the church, within his own community. And I saw these all the time. So that, for me, really just landed the point that every single one of us can be a better leader. So that's my purpose, and I enjoy working with people, helping them think through their own leadership style, help them believe in themselves as leaders, and help them apply themselves. So that for me is something that really is the gift that keeps giving, because there is never enough leadership out in the world, and there's always an opportunity to take someone home. Look, here's my experience of what's just done. Could you do this thing a little bit better? What is your own observation? And that's really something that I've loved. So being in organizations where I have had the opportunity to apply my purpose of bringing out the leadership capability in other people has been something that's kept me going.
If you're enjoying The Lead Creative, please share this episode with your network and hit follow or subscribe. Enjoy the show. I know that you mentioned the Iron Man, which you did, and that was something fascinating. I think watching you go through that journey until you did that, and I also know that you are a deep house DJ. Besides the DJing, which I know you don't, or at least I get a sense that you don't get to do it a lot, how else do you fuel your creativity and step out of it in order for you to then come back into your work and the work that you do and continue building as you do?
I read. So I try and make it a discipline of mine to read, and not just to read the same stuff, but to read broadly. So I have been able to really just have the privilege of reading different things. And that's what fueled, you know, my other part of my creative endeavor is just to read widely and to read as often as possible.
And what are you reading at the moment? What has been your recent most sort of thought-provoking read?
Geez, so right now, I've gone back to read a book that I read probably about 10 years ago. called The Challenger Inside by Adam Morgan. He's the same guy that wrote Eating the Big Fish. And what The Challenger Inside is about is around how to create a challenger culture within an organization that helps you win when that culture comes up against competition. So that's some of the things that I found is that as you read quite a lot, you're able to kind of go back and say, geez, I got this inspiration from this particular right. piece of work. Let me go back and check that out. So that's been a really fascinating read for me.
So AB, we have a tradition on the show where we ask our guests to leave a question for our next guest. And our previous guest was Kenzani Nobanda of Nedbank. And the question she left was, when you look at the work that you've done, what percentage of it would you say you are really proud of?
So I would say that I'm happy with 50% of it. And it's actually a question we ask our team all the time. We actually have our national marketing meeting tomorrow. And our question is, what's our zebra? You know, if you think about how Raymond van Niekerk and the team, who was, you know, a legendary CMO of Investec, they're the marketing team that came up with our zebra icon. And the strategic courage that they had to be able to convince the business to go with an animal that was actually quite unconventional, where everyone was using lions and cheetahs, something, you know, they were looking for predators. We went with the zebra. It was such incredible and brave thinking. Our question all the time is, you know, what's our zebra? And whenever you look at a piece of work, you just need to say, is it something that is representative of the strategic courage that was shown to us by the people that walked this path before us?
And now the same question to you is, what's the one question that you would ask our next guest about their approach to marketing, their creative process, or their thoughts on the industry?
Yeah, that's quite interesting. So I guess, you know, my question would be, how often do you look at the core of your brand and assess whether or not you are effectively amplifying the core of your brand through everything that you do? You know, when was the last time you went back and looked at your core brief and the essence of your brand and your brand key? People call it different things. They've called it brand key, brand tree. When was the last time you really had a deep dive assessment of that and then looked at how successfully you are consistently applying that across your business? So that would really be for me my business, my question to you. You know, when was the last time you looked at your brief? And I guess leading on to that is, when was the last time you looked at your brief with the rest of the business, where it's not just something that's in marketing that's hidden away? When was the last time you did that?
Yeah, that's a really fascinating question, because I think we approach it on a day-to-day basis from the one campaign to the next without always going back to our core.
Yeah.
And almost
People see the work. The business see the work and they go, okay, that's great, that's not great. But it's quite difficult to always go back and be very clear on what is your framework, you know. Have you been able to make the complex simple, so that when you show work that makes the simple exciting, people understand what that journey looks like?
And AB, lastly, if you could ask any living person about their unique take on marketing, creativity, or life, who would that person be? And what is the one question that you would ask them?
Whoa, so if I had to go back in time.
Yeah, but then, you know, any living person, any person who's alive today that you can ask that question, who would it be, and who and what question would that be?
Okay, so they have to be alive.
Because ultimately what we try to do is see if we could get an answer from that person. Very ambitious, but that's where we are.
Okay. So I think my question would be to the CEO of The On Brand, which is a sports brand retailer. They specialize in sports shoes. They've probably been around for about 10 years, and they're having a really good run at the moment. Share price is going up. They've got great endorsements. The business is doing well. And I have a concern that I think they've peaked. And my experience of them peaking is I just look around at the type of people that are wearing their shoes at the moment, which is like, you know, people like me. It's like these dads with their jeans watching rugby games on the side of the rugby field on Saturdays, you know, the kind of shoes that these guys are wearing to work on Fridays. And I think the brand became so cool that that generation got a hold of it, and they can afford the price premium, which is why all of them have it, because it's an expensive apparel. It's an expensive shoe. My question would be, how do you stop being at that particular plateau, and what's your plan to get it to the next level? Because I love that brand, and I don't want to see it die a slow death. And I feel that's what might be happening. So I'd really be interested to say to them, okay, so if this is the context, one, is it true? And how do you think you'll be able to kind of, you know, get up that S curve again?
Fascinating question. Fascinating question. Again, as a runner myself, I run in a different shoe brand, and I see some people on the road in those shoes. So very interesting question. Yeah. Very interesting question.
Yeah, and you're seeing more and more of them. So the business is doing well, but you know, it might be overexposed.
AB, thank you so much for making the time. This was a fascinating conversation once again. Of course, I'm always following your work, and I love the things that you're doing in the markets and in the industry. So thank you.
Mongezi, thanks, man. We should go for a run. At some stage.
No, I'll cycle while you run, because you run way faster than me now. Cool.
Okay, brother. Thanks so much for your time, man.
Thank you for listening to The Lead Creative. Did you get one insight that's worth sharing from this episode? Please share it with your network or your friends. Pop me some of your ideas and innovative finds on Twitter on @Mongezi. This podcast is available on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can also find me on mongezi.com.